Well, good morning, and thanks for tuning in to the 88.5 KRFY Morning Show on this Wednesday, April 5th, first Wednesday in April. And I'm Susie Prez, one of the hosts here this morning. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Susie. I'm Chris Bessel, your co-host. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, and this is the first Wednesday in April, and there's four Wednesdays in April. Okay. We're already filled up with our interviews for this month, so
yeah, it's going to be an interesting month. We're going to be got a lot of different topics. One of the things we're going to be diving into later in the month are the we're going to be scheduling interviews with candidates for the school board. We have a school board election coming up with three seats open on May 16th. So I think that will be a good series. And plus, we have another interesting one coming up, an exclusive interview.
An exclusive interview. We have a young intern from the Sandpoint Waldorf School, an eighth grade student, Tom Carty. And he's been here for the last 7 months learning the ropes of a community radio station. And he decided to do for his final project an interview. But it's a very exclusive interview with Sue Vogelsinger. She was a press aide in the Kennedy administration. And right now she's back east doing an NPR documentary on those years, because as she said in her interview here with Tom, it was recorded, by the way, that there aren't too many of them left.
That's right. Yeah, that was a very historic and tumultuous time as well, mm-hmm. of course. And, mm-hmm. and she was, in fact, on the plane that went to Dallas where President Kennedy mm-hmm. was assassinated.
That's right.
As part of his
press corps.
So she's had a very fascinating career.
And I have to tell you, the interview is extremely insightful, mm-hmm. and it's very exclusive, and we'll be airing that on April 26th.
Okay.
And on the 19th, we're going to have Tom in the studio talking, and his teacher, talking about the Waldorf School internship program.
Yes. And then next Wednesday, mm-hmm. we're going to be talking with the folks from the city about the street reversion that is it's going to be taking place here in the downtown, where the streets go back to two-way traffic.
And that's going to be so interesting.
Interesting is a good word. But we have a great show today as well. We're going to be talking with Erin Banal. She's the new community engagement. Erin, help me out with your title, please. There's two of them.
There is two of them. The foundation coordinator and community engagement specialist with Bonner General Health.
Yes. And we're going to be talking with you about what your position entails and some other health issues and trends within the community here shortly.
But before we get to that, let's hear from the National Weather Service, or from me talking about the National Weather Service on this interesting weather pattern that we've been living in lately. We had a few days of sunshine, which I think everyone just about went crazy over. It felt like spring, but right now it's 36 degrees out. We have a 60 to 20% chance of rain likely, and then slight chance of rain in the afternoon, a high today of 56. Low tonight, 39, 30% chance of rain. And on Thursday, 70% chance of showers likely, a high of 57, and Thursday night, low 39. And it looks like it's pretty much that through the weekend. Mm-hmm. That's all I can say.
Yeah, and that too is spring weather.
It is.
Around here. Other things going on outside. The sunrise this morning was at 6:17 a.m. It'll set tonight at 7:21 p.m. And the days are getting longer as we're approaching our summer solstice now. And in the past 7 days, we've gained 24 minutes of daylight per day. Yeah, must kind of like those long days, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Lake Pendere, the lake level, actually, it's very steady. They'll start filling the lake here shortly as they start capturing some of the snow melt runoff from the mountains. And speaking of snow, up at Schweitzer, they don't have any new snow right now, but they still have an awfully nice snowpack up there. Some of the weather that's been rain down here has actually been snow up there, and they've got a very nice snowpack. They have an interesting event happening up there, the spring finale, they call it. Although I believe they're going to be open until the 16th of April this year. So, yep, a couple more weekends still.
They must feel they have good enough snow.
Oh, yeah. They have great snow. Mm-hmm.
I have to say, I took a little walk around my garden yesterday afternoon, and there's stuff coming up. And I saw my parsley, and I have some little kale coming up. And it's like, okay, I guess it really is spring.
Yeah, feels like it, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What else is going on around town, Susie?
Well, you tell me, Chris.
Hey, here's a tidbit. The first osprey of the year was spotted at the Memorial Field Nest on Sunday, on April 2nd. They it's amazing how consistent they are in coming back each year. The, last year, the first one arrived on April 3rd. The previous year, it arrived on April 5th. So they seem to be dialed into getting here that first week of April. So they're now at the nest. Of course, you can see that on the Sandpoint Osprey cam.
And how do you get to that?
Well, you can get to it at sandpointospreys.com, or you can go to sandpointonline.com, which operates the cam, and click to a link there. And other things going on around town. It's
there's always a lot of music.
There's always a lot of music. There's
movies at the Panada. You can go to panada.org to see what's going on there. Our community theater.
They're running E.T. Classic, the film E.T. On actually tonight, I believe. So if you wanted to catch that in the full screen version, you could go there. There's a wine dinner at 41 South. There's the Native Plant Society is having a benefit at Baxter's on tonight, Wednesday. It's called Replant Your Refund Day. And there's a concert by John Craigie coming up on both Saturday and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And he has, of course, been in the studio before.
Well, actually, he's going to be in the studio again on Saturday at 2 o'clock.
Okay.
Jack will conduct an interview with him. He'll have his guitar. And he's always funny. He's insightful. He's really a cool musician. So to have John Craigie come up into the studio. And then he's playing a concert at DeLuna's both Saturday and Sunday night.
Yeah. He is a tremendous storyteller.
A troubadour.
Yeah. He tells his stories in song. They're actually usually pretty hilarious.
And if you want a preview of that, you can tune in to KRFY this Saturday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon for a live interview with John Craigie.
But now we have a live interview with Aaron Bonall. Aaron, thanks again for coming in.
Thank you for having me. I was looking forward to it.
Yes, and you're the community engagement specialist and the foundation director for Bonner General Health.
Yes.
And this is a new position.
It is a new position.
So tell us what the position entails, please.
Sure.
Kind of an introduction to the community here.
Yeah, my husband and I moved to Sandpoint in 2014 from Moyet Springs. We have two daughters. One is a junior at the Sandpoint High School. One is a second grader at Washington Elementary. We absolutely love being a part of this community. It's incredible, just the support and family-like village, I feel like, that we live in is really incredible, and I feel grateful that I am in a job and a position to identify areas of improvement to where our needs are and to truly partnership with other local entities and organizations to create and support a healthy community. So I'm really excited about this new position.
And so the foundation, some folks might not be aware of this, but the foundation is a nonprofit arm of the Bonner General Health Organization.
Correct, Chris. It was established as the fundraising and resource development organization for Bonner General Health. All contributions to the foundation help fund state-of-the-art medical equipment for the hospital, technology, community wellness programs, to truly improve the health of everyone in Bonner County. It allows for the expansion and enhancement of the facilities to keep, you know, our care close to home. So we're not having to go to Coeur d'Alene or Spokane to really be able to be in the comfort and care of your families, friends, and neighbors, which is incredibly important.
Mm-hmm.
To fulfill that need, you kind of have to know the community and what our needs are here. And so you do spend some time identifying those needs as they come up and change and develop.
Yes. As a matter of fact, the community health needs assessment is came from the Affordable Care Act in March of 2010. It applies to all hospital organizations with a 501c3 status, which is a nonprofit status. The goal is to seek input from the broad interests of the community that we serve, which we have a very large service area, as you guys know, from Priest River all the way to Hope and Clark Fork. So it's very, very large. And you must be made widely available to the public. So what it does is we ran this survey on October of 26 with an advisory committee The survey was distributed to the local community groups, Chambers of Commerce members, hospital board members, employees, and other key community members. 30 surveys were completed by members of the community, representing a mix of the community demographic. So it's really people identified that not are just within the hospital or within, you know, another large corporation. It's people that have touch all different demographics of our community so that we can really identify those needs.
Who did the polling? Who did the survey? Was that by folks that are part of the hospital, or was it by a third-party group?
There's a third-party group. So it was developed by the University of Wisconsin Population of Health.
Okay.
So also Panhandle Health District was a part of that, county-based records, and then specific people, as about 30 to 31 people identified in our community.
But they're chosen according to give you a variety of the types of people we have in the community,
school
right?
School district, teachers, pediatricians.
To kind of mirror what the community really composition really is.
Correct. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And out of that came 4 community health needs that are really a struggle. Now, if you don't mind me going back really quick, our 2013 community health needs assessment identified obesity, mental health, suicide, teen births, child abuse, and neglect. That was in 2013. When they redid the survey in October 26th, the 4 needs were obesity again, mental health, suicide in its own entity, and then child abuse and neglect.
So, how long ago was the survey conducted now?
In October.
And just in October.
In 2016, oh,
okay.
Correct.
Okay. So this is really brand new results that we're talking about.
Brand new results.
So those results are similar to 2013, except teen birth kind of went away. And
suicide took on its own.
Right, took on its own. So that's the difference between 3 years.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And there's still issues.
Yeah.
There's still country, worldwide issues. And so how do we make that change? How do we create awareness?
And yeah, it's not just awareness. It's what kind of strategies can the community develop to tackle these identified problems, health problems we have in the community?
Correct.
Now, let's start. Let's take them apart a little bit, if we can. I think one of the top ones was child abuse awareness and prevention in the community.
Correct.
So are there numbers for how big this problem is here?
Well, I was privileged to be able to go to the 7B Women luncheon yesterday and truly hear from our community what it's like in a day when a case is called in, and what it's like for the child, what it's like for those individuals and professionals coming in on it. And what I got out of it is just this year, there's been an increase, 35% increase on caseload in child abuse.
Wow. And
that's
what do they attribute that to? Is it like bad economy? I mean, there are stress factors, I think, that occur in people's lives that might lead to that.
Correct. Oh, yeah. I think it's poverty. It's the time of year. It's stress. It could be, you know, your child has development issues. That's a high stress. You just lost your job. There's so many factors on the table that can increase that. It's really how can we partner with people to provide resources, to provide those outlets to families so that they can decrease some of those stress factors. What we're doing this month is partnering with Kinderhaven and providing a free movie night on April 18th at the Panada. And speaking with Kathy Chambers, their executive director, this month as Child Prevention Awareness, really focus on preventative factors where they can have an outlet where it's free to at no cost. There's no stress. The children, the moms, dads can come in, get a free popcorn and enjoy a movie together.
That's
not in their own home.
This Saturday.
Yes, on the April 8th.
All right. And, you know, speaking of Kinderhaven, they were our guests on the Thursday morning show last week, and they were talking about some of the same thing with child abuse, and because it is child Abuse Awareness and Prevention Month, April is. But when you say 35% increase, you know, it's a wide spectrum of what child abuse looks like. And they did talk a little bit about that. I don't know if you have, it's not, you know, one thought of that. It can be neglect.
Correct.
Is abusive to a child not going to school with a good breakfast.
Correct.
And so what are some of those other, the bigger picture of what child abuse looks like in our community?
Yes, and that's another partnership that we have, and we help coordinate the Food for Our Children program. We also work with Newport Hospital and collaborate them with Snack Bags in Priest River, because again, we have such a large service area that it's so spread out that we really need to utilize our other resources closer to those communities to ensure that we're giving our community members the resources and the support that they need.
Mm-hmm. I know we get a lot of folks from Western Montana that use Bonner General Health too. Does this program extend across the border that way at all? Or
Not right now. We do have a Bull River Clinic in Montana, yes. Immediate care clinic, but we go as far as Clark Fork and Hope.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so when we're talking about the spectrum of child abuse, and it's oftentimes it's the parents, you know, you need to protect the children at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
And then also it's support for the parents. So
absolutely.
So collaboration is what I'm hearing you say. Bonner General Health collaborating with Kinderhaven, finding all the different ways to support and becoming aware and hopefully eliminate and prevent child abuse.
Right. And when you look at those fourth health needs, mental health, suicide, child abuse, neglect, you have obesity, they're very much in line with each other. All those factors affect one another in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
So programs that you might put in place to answer some of those needs do look at the full spectrum of those surveyed needs in our community,
yes,
health needs.
Yes, and we have some exciting new programs that we're developing and implementing, one specifically starting April 18th that's focused on our mental health and suicide for teens, working with and partnering with Barb Peruse and Susie Majeski. It's a coping and support training program, 12-session prevention program, designed and tested with students known to be at high risk for school dropout and suicide risk behavior. The hospital is going to provide the space, all the materials, and snacks for them to be able to give these kids, because Barb and Susie donate their time outside of their own full clinical days to provide this class, and we're really excited to be a part of it. I think that our school district
And again, who's the class for? Who attends the class?
Freshmen to seniors.
Okay.
They're identified maybe being, that could utilize coping and support training skills. It's voluntary. They meet with the parents and the families and the students, so they commit to doing that. They want to be there. It's not forced. But it's really a program that maybe these kids aren't getting that extra help or feel safe within the schools right now. They're kind of the ones that fall through the cracks. Or maybe they're not the ones that fall through the cracks. They're just not ones that are going to raise their hand and say, yes, I need some help. I need additional support.
Mm-hmm. So that's one of the points of the program, is that to teach kids to identify their friends that might be struggling, that might be having suicidal thoughts, And teaching these kids how to get help for those kids, right?
Right, or yeah. Struggling in school,
mm-hmm.
Not attending school.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get referrals for finding these folks, or do you just...
They do have referrals. This will be our first session in collaboration with Susie and Barb. So I will definitely be learning more about the program. Our goal is to help create and sustain this program and support it and sponsor it through the hospital moving forward. So it's truly a sustainable program in our community and resource.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are some of the other programs that are being put into place or are already in place, kind of to answer some of these identified health, the four major health issues facing our community and our citizens?
Well, let's talk about mental health. That was one of the mm-hmm. four.
Sure.
And I know that the state actually just put money into a, a mental health facility in Coeur d'Alene. Is that correct? Do you know about that?
There's programs that...
That was supposed to be for the northern Idaho counties.
Well, with mental health, we, Bonner General Health, brought in their psychiatry clinic, Dr. Johnson, a psychiatrist, which was a significant need. He sees only adults, so there's still a waiting list. As you look at it, and as moving forward and in my meeting yesterday, there's a true need for a pediatric psychiatrist in our community.
One that would work with
children. Do a diagnostic psychiatric evaluation to identify the correct meds that they should be on and help facilitate that kind of medical home model in collaboration with their primary care provider or pediatrician. Currently, there's a 9-month waiting list for children to seek a pediatric psychiatrist.
Wow.
And Kootenai has, I believe, 800 children on their waiting list right now.
Wow.
Significant.
So there's a huge need there.
There is a huge need.
Well, why is the need getting not fulfilled so much? I mean, it sounds like we're steps being taken to fill that need now, but if the waiting list is 9 months, can't we support another psychiatrist to work on those things here?
That's our goal. There's always cost. There's always it's hard to find somebody that's in a psychiatrist to come and, you know, move here full time, taking a look at all those areas of how can we know we can support it. Can we financially support it as a community? And also taking a look at, again, who can we bring? That was one of the biggest conversations yesterday, is if you know anybody that's a doctor, put the word out there. We need a child psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. If they want to move, come to Sandpoint, Idaho. Mm-hmm. Come to North Idaho.
So what are the children who are desperately in need of this kind of support with a pediatric psychologist or psychiatrist so they can be evaluated and get the help they need? What do they do? Where does that need fall? Onto parents and school counselors?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And with a 9-month waiting list, how many of those get missed? How many of those fall through the cracks? How many need to be followed up on continuously? And do we really have the kind of resources to keep up on that? You know, and how do we keep up on that? Those are all really good questions.
Big challenges.
Well, there are some counselors in town, though.
But that's different than
a psychiatrist, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Psychiatrists can provide medications, kind of help pave the way and... get those kids back on track, you know, with medications they need to be and have that resource and to allow them to be in a space where they can be successful with their counseling and what their needs are. Hopefully that's the goal.
Remind our listeners that this is the 88.5 KRFY morning show with Chris and Susie hosting, and our guest today is Aaron Banal from Bonner General Health. And now we are talking about the recently conducted community health needs survey that Bonner General Health had in October. And the four big areas that were identified as community health needs, one of them being mental health. Are there other programs that Bonner General is engaging in on this front, on the mental health front?
Yes, they do group and individual grief counseling in the schools as requested. There's a grief acceptance class through hospice. There's a children's kid camp, a 3-day weekend camp for children who have lost a loved one, who has been incredibly successful. Very much. There's been a lot of really good testimonials out there of kids that... Parents, a mother just recently wrote in and said the different, you know, when my daughter or son went to the kids' camp and came back, there's a significant difference in a little bit of peace, which is incredible.
And that's through the hospice.
Correct. And Bonner General Health Hospice Department.
How do people get connected if they are looking for help with mental health issues? Do they just call the hospital up? Is there a particular line they should call?
You call the direct hospital. Currently, we're working with Sandpoint Community Resource Center, which is another wonderful thing happening in our community, and gave them a bigger list of direct contact phone numbers. So when people are calling them asking who to call for, they have the business office. Here's our psychiatric clinic. Here is, you know, Sandpoint Women's Health, and directed through that way.
Mm-hmm.
And what is that phone number? I know it's 263-4135.
31.
That's okay. I'm going to look it up while we continue our discussion. The other thing that we have here in Sandpoint, and I don't know how much the hospital is involved, but we have a crisis line for people to call if things get, they have a need and they just need to talk.
Correct.
Just so you know, I do know about that. The counselors around town sign up for different nights and days to be on that crisis line. So there is a lot of resources in our community for people in immediate need and maybe long-term, more therapeutic need. We do have great counselors, too, private therapists. And as you say, they can actually refer people down to Kootenai to get a psych evaluation.
Absolutely, and mm-hmm. so can your primary care provider as well.
Okay.
Am I doing?
We're, So anyways, talking about this survey, when you were talking about mental health, it reminded me, if you get good mental health and some of these programs that you were talking about through the high school, the students in the high school, that can help with one of the other big ones on the list, suicide. Because when you feel supported and you have a clearer picture of getting out of the cycle of thoughts, it can really help prevent something as tragic as suicide.
Correct. Mm-hmm. It can also help you make better choices, goal-oriented. You're feeling good mentally. You want to make better choices physically, nutritionally. It all really aligns with each other.
Mm-hmm. And the nutrition can play a huge role.
So. Susie, I wanted to throw in that since we mentioned the crisis line, the phone number for that, if anybody wanted to get in touch with the North Idaho Crisis Line, it's 208-946-5595. And there is a website on for the North Idaho Crisis Services, and that's northidahocrisis.org. So if anybody is needing help or they know somebody that needs help, again, that that's northidahocrisis.org. Mm-hmm. Of course, you can also connect up through Bonner General Health. Mm-hmm. And bonnergeneral.org is the Bonner General Health website.
And also, as Aaron mentioned, the Community Resource Center. And, you know, because we're throwing out a lot of phone numbers, I think, on our website, when we post this interview as a podcast, I'll just list a few of the phone numbers for people to reference.
That would be great. And mm-hmm. I'd also like to encourage anybody who's interested in the results of the Community Health Needs Assessment, please visit bonnergeneralhealth.org. Under the data section, there is the entire health needs assessment for 2016 and 2013 for your information.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's more to talk about. We want to get into some of the other topics. So we haven't really touched on the obesity part of the mm-hmm. health needs survey, but I think we need to take a break and give you a little chance to catch your breath, Aaron.
Okay. Well, I have
Susie,
a song.
Susie, what do you got for us?
Well, you know, I saw this thing come across Facebook yesterday that Sandpoint is one of the coolest small towns in the country. And this was a survey or something put out by a group called Matador Network. I don't know who they are, but that's okay. We
They do those kinds of surveys around the country. And they came up with the 24 coolest towns uh-huh. in the country. And Sandpoint was on the list.
There you go. Well, I thought in honor of that, we'll play a song right now. This is Anna and Kate McGarrigle's song called My Town. And we'll be right back with more of the KRFY Wednesday edition of The Morning Show with Chris and Susie and our guest, Aaron Banal from Bonner General Health. And that was Kate and Anna McGarrigle, a song called My Town, in honor of Sandpoint being one of the coolest small towns in the country. And this is the 88.5 KRFY Wednesday edition of The Morning Show with Chris and Susie. We're back, and we have a guest this morning.
Aaron Banal from Bonner General Health. And we're talking about the Community Health Needs Survey that Bonner General commission back in October. So it's brand new information. And the four areas that were identified as community health needs, as the biggest community health needs. And one of those areas was obesity. How, Aaron, is Bonner General Health, what's the plan to help with that community health need?
Well, we are working with Bonner County Coalition for Health. I'm sure if you guys have heard of that, Nancy Jenkins is spearheading that along with other entities supporting it, which is really a wonderful program. Super One Foods, the 5 for 5, the healthy food for kids, Prescription RX, which is a prescription program that patients can get from their doctors, and which would be to join the walking group, maybe join a local gym. And there are gym memberships that, you know, insurance reimburses for, even Medicaid. So that is really exciting and empowering our patients and getting them invested in their own health. That's really important to make a significant difference. We also do diabetes education for our community. It's the first Monday of every month with our dietitians. They review nutrition, healthy choices to control their blood sugars and insulin, and as well their weight, with a focus on physical activity as well. We did implemented Fit for Life, which is the Bonner General Health Employee Wellness Program. That touches anywhere from 400 to 420 employees if they so choose to be a part of it. There's lots of incentives.
Employees of
the hospital.
Of the hospital. Okay.
Bonner General Health and itself. And yeah. When you look at that, you look at 400 to 420 employees that are being provided education, incentive, not only individually, but then they learn and they create awareness and learn some things and hopefully are bringing that home to their families, their children, friends, and sharing those opportunities and getting out and moving a lot more in enjoyment, not mm-hmm. necessarily as, oh no, I need to, oh, I have to go for a walk.
But really incorporating a whole lifestyle change.
Correct.
That makes life good on many levels.
Absolutely. Mental
mm-hmm.
health.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah, physically. Mm-hmm. And we coordinate food for our children program. That is, we pick up all the food. There's a team of staff that fill up the backpacks, and our courier delivers them to a few of the schools that mm-hmm. We have.
This is a program which provides food that kids take home.
Correct.
If their family is struggling and needs some help that way.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Participate in community for healthy mothers and children. We also provide parenting classes, things of that sort that are really, you know, just educating parents on the importance of living a healthy lifestyle. Another new program that I'm really excited about is partnering and working with the Community Teen Center here. We just met with our dietitians who will be coming up with a program to go in and spending about 15 to 20 minutes identifying healthy nutrition, bringing in healthy snacks, letting them know, you know, how that contributes to their brain development, their daily life, their focus in school, and the importance of physical activity. So we're really excited to be working with the Sandpoint Teen Center in regards to that as well. Mm-hmm.
And is that new?
It is new. Yeah. It is mm-hmm. new. You know, my goal in this role is to truly be a representative for Bonner General Health, but all of us to be a force of change in volunteering and doing these programs, having our staff, our licensed, trained staff, being a part of these organizations and us providing that education, creating that awareness. That is where we'll really make the force of, you know, be a true force of change mm-hmm. and truly supporting our community of becoming healthier.
Mm-hmm. So Bonner General Health, it's really not, the hospital is a part of it. And so you've just given us this bigger picture of not only the services that are offered, but the collaboration in our community with so many other groups. I just wanted to throw out the phone number for Bonner General Health, or it's the hospital, I guess, but it's the health. It's 263 1441. Oftentimes, people still use the phone. I know I do.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. With our cell phones, we forget those numbers. They're just already programmed into our phones.
And you were speaking of food for our children. I just want to throw out that there's an event on May 5th that they're putting on with Kinigsu Land Trust. And it's Cinco de Mayo. It's a fundraiser for Food for Our Children. And it is May 5th at Trinity at City Beach, starting at 4:30. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
That's kind of interesting that Food for Our Children is working with Kinigsu Land Trust. You think land trust, what does that have to do with health? Well, actually, the Kinigsu Land Trust is getting active in encouraging people to use public lands and some of the conservation easements that they're helping people set up on their properties to get out and be active in the outdoors. And that is a health benefit, but there's great mental health benefits, I think.
Absolutely. They're creating this summer a summer camp for kids that can't, a free summer camp that they can't afford. And they're trying to, they're working on logistics currently right now of transportation and how to get these kids there. But that's another program that we support and have donated money. And I know that there's people and part of Bonner General Health that are very passionate about that and are also volunteering their time towards that program, which I think is incredible.
And Kinigsu Land Trust, they're working on what they call the Pine Street Woods Campaign, which is to create a community forest up at the top of a Pine Street. And part of the mission there is to create trails that people get out and use so people will be active and promote a healthy lifestyle in that way. So it's the way these things all kind of tie together is interesting.
And again, a clear indication of how wonderful our community is. All these entities coming together, supporting one another for the benefit of the health of their community members is really wonderful.
It's a big web of support. And each community in the country has the opportunity to do this. And it sounds like our community is intentionally building this support network for our citizens, which is wonderful. That's all I can say about that.
The citizens building it for themselves, really.
Yeah.
To be successful, your role as community engagement, I think, is to kind of help, tie Bonner General Health into all these different
Look at what is community engagement? It's along this whole foundation coordinator, community engagement specialist. Well, what does that really mean? What does that look like? And there's several different definitions of community engagement you can find. But I felt like the best definition I found is that community engagement seeks to engage long-term, sustainable outcomes, relationships, processes for our community. And that's it's important. It's critical that we have those things. And it's important that our hospital is, that true health hub to be that port, to have that big support in our area. And to truly have these sustainable programs. This is a wonderful place to live. I look forward to my children growing up and, starting their own lives and their own journey, but hopefully have the opportunity to come back and live here and continue to serve and give back.
So the foundation, that's your other part. You're the director of the Bonner General Health Foundation, and that is a nonprofit and it's a fundraiser arm of Bonner General Health. Can you tell us just a little bit more about that? Where does your funding come from? How do you raise funds?
Well, we have a couple different ways of how we raise funds. Our biggest fundraiser is our annual Heart Ball, and that's always around Valentine's Day and in February.
We just had one. It was a lot of fun. I went.
Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It's an opportunity for people to get dressed up. We had saw a lot of new faces and shared good times with a lot of old friends, recurring friends of people that truly believe in what we're doing as a hospital. We raised almost $90,000 this year towards the foundation and to give support to the hospital. The last couple years, we focused on patient satisfaction and patient care. So just really the aesthetics of feeling safe and calm and secure and a nice you know, warm, clean environment. And that's been really nice. And we've also seen a significant increase in patient satisfaction surveys through there. So that's been really wonderful. Other areas that we raise funds is we send out a letter to Schweitzer community or property owners. I'm not sure if you guys are aware, but Bonner General Health staffs the medical site up on Bonner with an RN at no cost to Schweitzer. Yeah, up on the mountain.
In the event somebody has a...
Right, they're their first responder, and then they do what it takes to get the individual to where they need, whether it's our immediate care or Bonner General Hospital emergency room. Mm-hmm. So we just encourage...
Because people do occasionally get hurt.
Yes, they do. Mm-hmm. And then we also... Lake property owners, just, you know, let them know what we, you know, here, we're here. These are our services we provide to support you. This is what our foundation is. And, you know, here's a way you can give.
Mm-hmm. How about grants, especially to support some of the specific programs that you have focusing on specific issues?
Prior to my start of working here in January, I do not know of any grants that have been written, but that is something that we've been discussing and we'll be moving forward with.
Mm-hmm. Especially something like obesity or child...
mental health, child psychiatrists. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of areas where we can be focusing on enhancing, and those additional funds will be critical in order to move forward.
Especially setting up some of these pilot programs that you've done already, and probably more to come.
Mm-hmm. Other areas of and ways to give for the foundation is always a monetary contribution. Gifts in member or in honor of someone, a memorial gift. Gifts in your will. There are several people that put Bonner General Health Foundation in their will to leave additional funds to the foundation. And all of those Amazon shoppers, Amazon Smiles, you can choose Bonner General Health Foundation as your charity, and a percentage of your purchase
get
will go towards the foundation.
Amazon, as they take over the world.
Correct. Exactly. That's exactly right, Chris.
Yeah. And the foundation has an endowment?
We do have an endowment, and it is growing. It has growing.
That's an emphasis, I would assume, to grow that endowment, so that...
So there's sustainability, and we're moving forward, and we are over our goal as of right now, and incredibly excited about it.
Oh, nice, nice, yeah. And what is the goal?
Well, our goal, as I, you know, I can't answer. I know that it was mentioned that we have increased our goal, and we started it 2 years ago, and we are, I can't answer it. Maybe I'll say ballpark over 65,000.
Okay.
And it's growing.
And, yeah. And that is a really, especially for people that are thinking about something like writing a donation into a will. It's a way to leave a legacy.
Absolutely.
People, if they're thinking about their legacy, what did they accomplish here on the planet? Donating to an endowment like that is a way that your money keeps giving long after you're gone.
And you know,
indefinitely.
Exactly. Basically. Into your community for whatever that looks like, whether it's programs for the health needs for that identified year, parents, children. It's a wonderful gift.
Mm-hmm. So,
are there any things coming up in your organization, Bonner General Health, Bonner General Foundation, Health Foundation, any fundraisers, or you mentioned something, I can't quite remember what it was. I know that there's a, well, anything coming up that you might
think of.
There's so much going on.
Well, we will have the, Children's Kid Camp happening, and I can get those dates to you guys so you can share with your listeners, because I think that is an incredible benefit.
That's the grief one out in Clark Fork.
Yes, it is.
Usually we'll probably have them on right before the, you know, when they open up registration and stuff.
Great. What a wonderful team of individuals that they're just incredible.
Absolutely.
And that's the other thing I think it's important to know, that the hospital, some of us get to come up and talk on the radio about the community health needs assessment and what that looks like. But Bonner General Health is a team, and that starts with every single employee that provides these wonderful opportunities and resources. It starts with everyone that works there, and we are very fortunate to have such a wonderful hospital. Mm-hmm. It is a privilege to be an employee at Bonner General Health.
And the hospital is a really important institution within the community, no question. But it's interesting that it's much more than a hospital now. You know, it's kind of repositioned itself as Bonner General Health for a reason, because there are so many services that go beyond just urgent care or an immediate crisis service that the Bonner General serves now.
Yes, yeah, it's important. Yeah. Rural communities have a disproportionate share of, you know, of elderly, uninsured, and patients with significant health issues. So it's really important to get involved. Mm-hmm. You know, be active in your community, volunteer. Come and check out the hospital. It's and how you can serve and how you can also be a part of this, you know, the change.
And a good place to start, bonnergeneral.org, your website. We've thrown out so many different things that the Bonner General Health is involved in that it might seem like overload, but that information is available on the website. So a good place to start is that, if our listeners are interested in engaging that way.
Well, Aaron, we really want to thank you for coming in and bringing us up to date on all the happenings and about your new position and really the hub that Bonner General Health has created for our community and the support that is out there for all different kinds of needs for us here in Sandpoint, Idaho and North Idaho. So thank you so much for coming in, Aaron Banal, new
Thank you guys director. So much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. We're going to take a little musical break and we'll be right back. But this is Bruce Springsteen, My Hometown. We'll be right back. Stay with us for the morning show with Chris and Susie. And that was Bruce Springsteen, My Hometown. And you're listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio, so that means listener-supported radio for North Idaho. And this is The Morning Show with Chris and Susie. We're just wrapping it up a little bit, Chris. There's several things going on that we want to remind our listeners of.
Try to mention here, our very active town.
What do you have? A couple things that are on the top of the list.
Well, we can remind folks they can get the complete community calendars on KRFY.org or sandpointonline.com. But there are a couple events worth mentioning up at Schweitzer. It's the spring finale event this weekend. And then there's a great concert in town on both Saturday and Sunday. John Craigie, a singer-songwriter who is a musical storyteller.
I know, one of my favorites. He's kind of like a combination of John Prine and all kinds of different people just telling his story in such a great way. And just so you know, he will be live in the studios of KRFY on Saturday afternoon to showcase and give you a little preview of what you can expect at DeLuna's on Saturday and or Sunday night. And that will be at 2:00, and Jack Peterson will be interviewing him. So that will be live. And John Craigie always brings his guitar. And besides, he starts telling stories and then
he'll
sing some songs.
Yes.
Yeah, it's so much fun. I wish I could be here for that. But he'll be here in the studios at 2:00 on Saturday, and he'll be in concert at DeLuna's both Saturday and Sunday night. You know what? We have very little time to say anything more. Check out the community calendar at krfy.org and or Sandpoint Online.
Sandpointonline.com.
And next week, Chris, our guest will be the City of Sandpoint Administrator Jennifer Stapleton, who will talk about the street revision, because it should be in place by then.
Well, it's underway, but it's also weather-related, because they can't do the striping they need to do to change the streets up. So unfortunately, it looks like they're not going to be able to get started this week as they had planned, but it will be in play for several weeks as different streets, like Fifth Avenue is going to go two-way, Pine Street is going to go two-way, First Avenue is going to go two-way. So there's going to be a lot to talk about there with Jennifer.
And so keep your heads up and your eyes open, because it's going to be different. And well, we'll hear about some other city happenings. You know what? Someone had a birthday on Sunday. Can you guess who?
Because you told me.
Well, yes, you're right. It's Emmy Lou Harris. So she turned 70 years old on Sunday, and we're going to hear one of her songs. We're going to go out with a song she collaborated with Rodney Crowell on. It's a duet. It's called Here We Are. And we hope you have a beautiful day.
Yep.
We'll be back here next week, and tune in to The Morning Show tomorrow with Jack Peterson. Have a great day.